Brother Spurgeon, we would love to have you come preach to us. Are you ready?
Both of us. Amen. Going to be saved. I like saying that. Know why? Because it's good to be saved. Amen. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. All right. Last time I was here, I said, well, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'll see you in 2 years. So this means kind of a bummer way to start. Remind you that the Lord, well, he's tarrying for a reason. He's not like us. He's got a reason for everything he does. Amen. And that reason might have to do with some folks in Malawi. Amen. So you guys do your thing over there, and we might get raptured out of here in about a week or two. You never know. But it is good to be in church tonight. And praise the Lord. Take your Bible. What a blessing it is to have a Bible. Amen. Have the Bible. Take it and go to Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke chapter 5. Appreciate prayers. Anybody that prayed? I had another shoulder surgery in April. And so that's two down. No more of them, Lord willing, unless I mess something up. But it went really well. I'm like three and a half, well, maybe almost 4 months post-op, and this is our first time back on the road last couple weeks. It is good to be back out there where the Lord called us, and we enjoyed being with our home church, Anchor Baptist Church. Some of you went to youth camp. That's our crew down there, and it's good to be. It was good to be with the grandkids. I didn't know we had that many. Amen. But it's good to be back where the Lord wants you. And it doesn't get any better than knowing where the Lord wants you and then being there. So thank you for your prayers. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Let me give you a little background. What we're looking at here is the calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, according to Luke. Amen. And Matthew gave his account in chapter 4, and this is Luke, and we pick it up in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And so the verse says they pressed upon him. And real simple, that means they were crowding around him. In Luke 19, in verse 3, we have Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, in verse 3, and it said he could not for the press. And it just means there was a lot of folks. And the interesting thing about this isn't the first or the last time that people pressed Jesus, amen, for different reasons. But this time, the reason is in the verse, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Amen. Would that God a revival of that would break out in the churches of America, that people would come for the right reason to hear the word of God. And something I know about this church, that's what you're here for. That's what your confidence is. If a preacher came here, even if the preacher for your pastor for some reason got somebody here and they went off a different direction than the word of God, I think somewhere hidden is the big shepherd hook, you know, and it would come out of somewhere, amen, and drag him off. And if he didn't, some of you men would, because we know that our foundation is the word of God. These folks were they pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. And I want to preach on this thought, get in. And we'll go through the verse, the chapter, but let's pray again. Lord Jesus Christ, in the magnificent name that is above every name, we come here tonight humbly, Lord God, looking for something from thee. And I pray, God, that you'd speak the heart tonight. And it's been prayed already. The needs are many and the needs are various. And you know them all. You can meet them all. God, help us to yield to your spirit. And God, I need a lot of help here. And so that's been that way every time I ever attempted to preach. So nothing new there. God, please, I pray that your son would be glorified, your people would be helped. And if there's somebody in here tonight that's not saved, I pray you'd make it real easy for them to see that they need you as their Savior. Lord God, again, I love you, and I pray and ask that you'd help me in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Look at verse 2. Now we're in Luke chapter 5, and look at verse 2. It says this, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but their fishermen were going out of them or were washing their nets. And as he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, people follow Jesus Christ around for, again, a variety of reasons, but this scenario, here he is on the seashore, there's the ship there, the fishermen are washing their nets, and people are gathered around, and if I was to stand right there on the floor, and you guys all kind of just gathered around, the ones that are real close, they wouldn't have any problem hearing what I might say. Of course, I've been told, I don't know this, but I've been told I'm kind of loud. So maybe the people in the back of the room wouldn't have any problem hearing. But as Jesus Christ is crowded around, he had enough sense to know that if I get in that ship and thrust out a little, and then he would have a bigger vantage point so that more people could hear him. Point number one, we're talking about get in tonight. And point number one, it's important to get in earshot. You follow me? Of where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Again, he got in the boat, pushed out, amen, put a little distance, amen, between him and this crowd so that more people could hear him. And it's important to hold your place there. We're going to be there, but go over to Luke chapter 10. And we're talking about the importance of being within earshot of the Lord, where he's speaking. And Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And the Bible says this, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right? Now, verse 40 says this, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Can you imagine asking the Lord, dost thou not care? Let me tell you something. If he didn't, you'd be the first to know. Amen. Those disciples in Mark chapter 4, in that storm at sea, dost thou not care that we perish? I mean, what a thing to say. If he didn't, you would, without hope, without remedy. I find it interesting that the Lord had Peter write later in his first epistle in chapter 5 and verse 8, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So here you got Martha. Now she's busy, and what she's busy at is good and it's important, but she said that to the Lord, and I wonder if the Lord just doesn't get used to hearing his children say dumb things. Amen. He's heard some from me. And I might not be the only one in the room. Amen. But then she says this, bid her therefore that she help me. I don't know about you, but it sounded to me like she just gave the Lord an order. Isn't that interesting? Amen. A lot of people like to give orders in the body of Christ. There's a lot of people that they're willing to serve God, but push come to shove, you find out it's only in an advisory capacity. Amen. We like to help him out. Amen. And so let me just say now, serving is important. It's very important. Thank God for serving. But you're going to have to figure out how to balance that thing, because Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One doesn't circumvent the other. Amen. I've been in churches traveling around where some people, I meet people, get to know people, year in and year out, but there's some faces that never seem to make it in to the auditorium for the preaching, and they're busy. Amen. But let me tell you something again. You got to balance that out, because it is important to get an earshot of where the Lord is talking and where the Lord's book is being preached. Amen. Now, we go to little churches, and this is a pretty good-sized church in our crowd, all right? And we go to churches smaller than this, and sometimes, by necessity, the same person, same lady usually, and oftentimes the pastor's wife, will be in the nursery, doing the nursery, making it so that visitors can enjoy the preaching. So my wife, and not just my wife, but she trained our girls too, to be able to be faithful workers and helpers wherever is necessary. But on more than a few occasions, it came out that they needed help in the nursery. And I don't know if my wife volunteered or my girls volunteered because they just didn't want to hear that message again, or they truly did want to help. But it's important to spell each other. I mean, people get duties and everything, amen. We need to take turns. We need to help each other out. What my wife discovered was that, and I recognize it. Some ladies, their comfort zone is in the nursery. Their comfort zone's in the kitchen. Their comfort zone is being busy, and they're actually availing themselves to very little preaching. Amen. And again, I don't want to de-emphasize the importance of serving and doing the stuff that needs to be done. But again, the balance is important. Notice Jesus Christ himself said in verse 42, Mary hath chosen that good part. It's important tonight to get an earshot. And I would say more so than ever, just based on the pace of the world that we live in. And I guess every generation felt that same way. Amen. Because the pace was faster than the previous generation. And to me, it's like, wow, blinding fast these days. I turned 70 since I was here last. What happened? I was 60 and then I blinked and now, amen. And not that I'm complaining, it's a blessing. But things are moving, and it is more important than ever to get an earshot of the Word of God as much as you can. Yep. Amen. And I'm talking about church. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about where there's preaching. I'm not talking about replacing this with sermon audio. And that might be a blessing if you spend a lot of time driving. I know a lot of guys that listen over and over again, but I'm going, wow, like what? It's not helping you much. Sometimes, I mean, you know, that does. If you're doing that for bragging rights, it doesn't impress me if you're not faithful in your church. Amen. We live in a day and age where, you know, my wife and I discuss it all the time because people don't like to read anymore. I think she brings it up so much because she loves to read and I'm the other crowd. Yeah. Amen. And amen. I don't know what I'd rather do, but this isn't my studying and reading. I got to force myself. For some of you, it comes easy. For some of you, amen, you figured out you can just go watch YouTube. That doesn't do it, friend. Amen. And you can't replace what God set up when he ordained preaching and ordained church. You can't replace that with a device. Interesting word for all these alternatives. Device. That's in the Bible somewhere. Where does that show up? Yeah, you know. Amen. I'm not saying, but you heard me, didn't you? About that boat ride. In Mark chapter 4, when the Lord and the disciples got in and went across that and that storm came up, there's a point I want to bring up about that. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, it said, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And then, yeah, I hope you know the story. There was a great storm. I guess I overlooked it. Maybe you never did. Maybe I'm the only one that ever did. But in verse 36, the end it says, and there were also with him other little ships. All right, so there's other little ships. Jesus is in one of them with the 12, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and there's other little ships. So this This storm that came that was bad enough that it tossed and endangered the ship where these 13 men were, and four of them are sailors. That tells me that was worse than average. Sailors know more about storms at sea than the old paratrooper like me. But it was Peter, well, it was all of them really, that they're afraid for their life. And I'm trying to figure that if the Bible says there were other little ships, that maybe that was a bigger ship than, so, okay, they were all on the same lake, same sea, right? They were all in their little boats, and they were all in the same storm. Now, if it was crazy for the ship that Jesus was on, what do you think it was like for them other ones? And think about this. When he stood out there on the bow, I just picture him coming up from the hold and putting up his hand. And I mean, there's a storm raging. And now we know what he says because the Bible tells us, he said, "Peace, be still." None of those other boats would have heard that. Even if they saw somebody, they wouldn't have heard that. They weren't within earshot. They would have experienced the same result, because when the sea calmed, the wind ceased and the sea calmed for the ship he was on, they got in on it, but they wouldn't have a clue why. Let me say it like this. They wouldn't have heard him say, "Peace, be still." But I'm sure glad I did one day. Amen. That was exactly what was happening. 37, almost 38 years old. There was a storm raging in my soul. I didn't even understand that it was spiritual, but I understand this. The dad called upon Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sin, not out of love, not out of because I knew I couldn't handle hell. Amen. And boy, when I got my sins forgiven according to that book, other things changed too. And I was introduced to something I didn't even know existed, and it was called peace. That's a precious commodity. And if the Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart," that means it's possible not to. And I'll tell you, friend, sin and bitterness and a whole list will disrupt your fellowship with God. The peace won't rule. You need to figure out that it is such a precious commodity that you need to examine whatever needs to be examined, act on whatever needs to be acted on, to get the peace of God restored so it can rule in your heart, because it's a precious, precious thing. Amen. So we're talking about getting in earshot, and so, you know, those that heard him, and those that didn't, sometimes they experienced the blessings and wouldn't even know why. And I just noticed that there's no shortage of people just tagging along, and they never really get in. And I'd like to encourage you with this message to start this meeting. I'd like to encourage you to get in. There's people in churches I preach at. They're in Christ. I don't doubt they're saved. Amen. And oftentimes they're in church, at least, you know, a little bit, but never really get in an earshot. Just act like just something magic happens when you come in the building. If that worked, I guess there's a lot of churches in America. This ain't a magical thing. It's supernatural, all right. You need to make a point to get an earshot. You need to nurture a tender heart so that you can hear the still small voice of God. Amen. And so because so many people don't get in, I wonder if that's why there's so many blank stares when we preach these days. We're preaching the infallible word of God. And my pastor and I were talking about it one time, and he said, "Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established." And you can come and get preached at, but if you don't have any relationship with your Bible at home, you're not reading it, things like that, there's the witness missing. And he said, "I wonder if that's not the reason for so many blank starts." I'm talking about our churches. I'm not talking about them other guys. And by the way, singing too. I mean, you know, we use the same hymn book as you guys. And we love that hymn book down in Ohio. And I come up here and we open the same hymn book, and you guys are singing songs I never heard before. Isn't that cool? Different churches get pulled different songs out of, and they're all about the same thing. Amen. And I understand dirty looks when you're preaching. Maybe your pastor probably has never experienced that, but I'm used to it. Amen. I'm an evangelist. My job is to afflict the comfortable. Say, well, I like this message. It's early in the week. You know, keep coming. Amen. But we don't need to be gratified. We don't need to hear amens. Oh, okay, I lied there. It is nice. But we're almost getting used to not having it anymore. But what I'm getting at is this. It blows my mind when a congregation sings the hymns like we sung tonight about our sins being nailed to the cross and the Lord coming back, and it's the same deal, the blank stares, you know, just with mouth and words that we've sung so many times, and we're not reading them and we're not thinking about them and they're not impacting us. Amen. We get to the point where we're just tagging along. Amen. Maybe that's why the altars remain empty. It wasn't this way when I got saved. People were sensitive to the Word of God. They responded to the Word of God. Now we've heard so much good preaching. We've heard so many messages. We have so many notebooks. It's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I wonder if you ever thought about this. Let's see what this guy's got. And whatever happened, where's the Holy Spirit in that? And if we'd be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and really intent on getting within earshot of that still small voice of God, of the Word of God when it's preached, maybe it'd have an effect on us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right. Number one, get in. Get in earshot. But number two, look at verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Amen. It says, launch out into the deep. So, listen, get an earshot, but, you know, there comes a time where you need to just figure out how to get in deep. Getting in deep means getting out of the shallow end. Amen. I mean, God made salvation so easy, but then people start getting into church, but they're never fed sound doctrine. They don't grow thereby. Amen. They just stay. Remind me of a bunch of little toddlers at a swimming pool just splashing around or walking around. They're splashing around. Listen, there ought to be a time where you ought to want to get in a little deeper. Amen. Verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So basically, Peter spoke up and said, David Spurgeon translation, I'm not tampering with the Word of God. But basically, what Peter says is, Lord, been there, done that. Nothing happened then. We didn't get nothing. And then he said this in the verse, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Good move, Peter. He didn't think it would work. He'd already been doing that, but he did. He launched out anyway, and he let the nets out anyway, and in spite of whether or not he understood how it was going to happen or come, he did that by faith. Amen. And that's what getting in deep is. Getting in deep, I'm sorry, is not Mystery Babylon. Getting in deep is not the mark of the beast. Getting in deep is not the toes of Nebuchadnezzar's statue. All that stuff's fun. But I'm going to tell you what, as soon as you start talking like that, people start hearing Twilight Zone music and they kind of zone out. So let me help you with what it is. Let me help you with getting in deep. Getting in deep is learning incrementally to live by faith. We live by sight. We get saved because of common sense. I mean, amen. If you got enough honesty to admit you're a sinner, you ain't no match for hell. Amen. Coaxed one out of them, bro. Amen. Amen. And then we come and again, incrementally. I know you're impressed. I couldn't spell that if my life depended on it. But amen. You learn to live by faith. You see what the Bible says and you think, well, I don't understand that, but Bible says it. So, Ed, that's exactly right. I had a guy in convict say, How can it be possible that God is a Trinity? Father, Son, oh, that's impossible. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't explain that. It never occurred to me to try to explain it. The Bible says it. I believe it. You know why they keep correcting the Bible outside? Well, there's a bunch of reasons, to be honest. But you know why a lot of people would gravitate toward a Bible that doesn't even contain the Word of God in hundreds and hundreds of places? They read through it. Smarter people than us, by virtue of what? Education and degrees on the wall. And they'll read through in the Bible and say, that doesn't make sense. So instead of yielding themselves by faith, they change it. These are professing Christians, and they'll change it so that it makes sense to them. If we could take the Word of God and make it make perfect sense, wouldn't that mean God's no smarter than we are? I don't want anything to do with a God no smarter than we are. I want a God I can follow by faith. Amen. So launching out in the deep is learning to learn how to live in faith. It's not as hard as it sounds. It's not spooky. In verse 3, Jesus said, he prayed they would launch out a little. Thrust out a little. And then in verse, wherever we are, verse 4, I think it was, he said, thrust out. No, then he said, launch out into the deep. You know, if you start by thrusting out a little, getting in deep is really just launching out a little farther. It gets deeper. Amen. Amen. And, you know, so let me break it down like this. If you read the Bible occasionally, good idea. Amen. Read it more. That's deep. Amen. If you read your Bible once in a while, how about daily? Read it daily. Say, well, I don't like to read. So what? Force yourself. You force yourself to do other stuff. Amen. And listen, I'm all for a proverb a day. They're great. But that really doesn't constitute studying to show thyself approved unto God. Try to launching in out into the deep. Might be like, you know, like start at, like, here's an idea. Genesis. And read it all the way through. Yeah. Amen. I say, well, that's simple. Why aren't you doing it? Yeah. Well, I did it. Well, you know what? In my Bible, at Revelation 22, it says the end. And underneath that, I wrote, go back to the beginning. I know people that read books, write books, all these books. And they say, Brother Spurgeon, have you read this or have you read that? I said, man, who's got time? Every time I finish this, I got to go back and start over. I talk to some Christians, and they got a head full of stuff. But it ain't the right stuff. Now, if you can handle, you got a big brain, you can handle a big load. But if you don't, if you're like a normal person, make sure you get the right thing in there. And then make room for whatever else. Amen. So, you know, challenge yourself to read it through. And, oh, I already do that. Good. Good. Then just for the fun of it, pick a subject. Pick a person. Pick a topic. And nowadays, I mean, we used to have this big red book, you know, called a Strong's Concordance. Nowadays, you got it on your phone. Don't you tell me you don't. Amen. Hey, Google, you trust Google with Bible verses? Hey, Siri, what does it say in here? Really? Man, I don't trust the wizard. I call Google the Wizard of Oz, and I call Amazon Prime Santa Claus. Then that pulls up in front of our truck. When I was on rehab for 3 months, then I'd be sitting out there in that truck. Hey, Santa, what'd you bring me today? Amen. I'm going to tell you how bad COVID was. I memorized my credit card number. I get a credit card. Boop, 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 there it is. And then I get a notice on my phone that says, there's a charge to your card in San Francisco. Is this you? And I went, like, in capital letters, seriously? Of course not. Amen. Oh, well, your card is now canceled. I was in a panic state because then I got a new card and I didn't know the number anymore. Amen. So thrust out, it said launch out into the deep. We're talking about getting your shot, but then get in deep. I mean, many of you might say that when I got saved, I never dreamed we'd still be in church 30 years later. Surely the Lord was going to come back, but he hasn't yet. And again, he's got a reason. I don't know when he is. But I wouldn't just, not read my Bible because of here. What's the difference? The Lord's come. Maybe he'll wait 30 more years. That's terrifying. But if I came every other year, I'd be 95. No, that's a long time. Amen. 85. I'm not good at math either. Amen. Wait a minute. No, I'll be 100. I will never be 100 down here. Amen. You know, we're talking about launch out into the deep. So there's your relationship with your Bible, and that's important. And then what about your prayer life? Amen. You know, most Christians' prayer life reminds me of the convicts that I used to be. Me, help me. That's what most Christians ever. Oh, help my wife get right. Help my husband get right. That's probably, he hears that more. And my kids and my parents and my finances and my health. And we got this big long list. And like if we ever get everything all lined up in our life, then I maybe will like pray for others. Could I encourage you launching out in the deep is figuring out that according to James chapter 5 and verse 16, you'd need less prayer yourself if you'd learn to pray for others more. Say, well, I never saw that. I just saw effectual, fervent prayer. Well, why don't you go back and read it yourself sometime? Amen. It doesn't say pray for one another that they might be healed. It says that you'd need less prayer if you'd learn to pray for others more. Amen. And that's a little out there maybe. How about praying for your pastor? I mean, listen, we don't do anything religiously. Maybe we should. Maybe we should pray for our pastor. Maybe we should pray for each other. Amen? Now, we've been, our church in Ohio, kind of like, and you can do this. I'm sure you can do this. You could probably close your eyes, and everybody kind of sits in the same place until we come and disrupt it on purpose. I can start on one row and start praying, depending on how much time I have, and start praying for members of the church by name. Amen. And that'd be a good way to pray for each other. Amen. Pray for souls. Pray for evangelists, missionaries. You know, God takes great care of us. And I know that if you got a prayer, prayer alert or whatever it might be called. Pray for those virgins that are broke down here. That I know some of you would hit their knees and you'd pray. But I know this too. Some of you pray for us and missionaries. They're not even having problems they might have had if we'd pray preemptively. Amen. And so, well, I never thought about that way. I pray for my church. I pray for my pastor. I pray for my family. But I'm trying to tell you about lunch. It ain't spooky. Just kick it up a notch, man. Start praying for others. Amen. Pray. If your church attendance is sporadic, amen, getting in deeper would be to ask God to help you be more faithful. We'll start a meeting on Wednesday a lot of times, and there's people that won't show up until Sunday because that's their normal routine. Amen. I've had people come and say, oh, this is great. I wish I'd have known we were having a revival, and we'd have already been there 4 days. Amen. Some people show up at church like they're doing God a favor. Amen. I tell you what, maybe if you launched out into the deep a little bit in regard to your church attendance, maybe God would do you a favor. Amen. So, I get if you come only Sunday morning, you wouldn't be hearing me right now. But, people that come like Sundays and Wednesdays, that's progress. That's how a church judges his core, by people that come to all the services. But then every once in a while, the preacher, just to see if you're paying attention, will have a revival. And now tomorrow we get to be in church on Thursday. Now some of you heard have to be. But I said it right. We get to be in church on Thursday. We get to be in church on Friday. We got a good excuse. You're always looking for an excuse. Now we got an excuse to put all the junk you're dealing with on the back burner and just come and sing these songs and fellowship with God's people and things like that. I'm talking about get in the deep, get in a little deeper. Listen, you can stay at the baby pool if you want, splashing around, but ain't nobody going to learn to swim if your feet are touching the bottom. If you want to take a second, write that down. That was very profound. I know it was. That was a David Spurgeon profundity. And I ain't even sure if that's a word, but you didn't know either. The only person in this room that knows it well is, have you read any of his stuff? That guy knows more words than anybody I ever met. Amen. So we're talking about getting deep. The water's fine. I'm not even looking over there to see how he took that. I'm not going to. Verse number six. We're in Luke 5 still. Verse number six, and it says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Wow, isn't it amazing? It's amazing when we just do what the Lord said to do. Sometimes we do it like this, though. It said, and their net break. Wait a minute. Their net break. That was verse 6. And because it was full of fish. But as I go back to verse 4, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. And so they, you know, kind of complied. But so they got two nets worth in one, and it's going to break. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's quite a catch. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why did he do that? Because he's figured out who this guy is. For real. Amen. I would say Peter probably thought he was a pretty good fella. I saw a little documentary on this time in the Bible, and they made Peter to be out some kind of rascal, some kind of scoundrel. I don't really see that. Looked like a hard-working religious fella to me. And probably thought he was a pretty good fella until he saw himself here compared to the Lord. Different story then. Kind of like Isaiah chapter 5 when Isaiah, good preacher and man of God, servant of God, warned of them. And he's preaching, man, and he's skinning them. And we might even be inclined to say, amen, Isaiah. But then he got a glimpse. He's compared to the nation full of sin. Amen. He was right, man. He was doing a good job. But what needed to happen for him to ever go any farther was to see himself compared to God. And that's what you see in Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to tell you what's easy to do. It's easy to call out everything wrong with our country. Amen. You got your focus on the wrong thing. We need to keep our focus on God. And when we see ourselves compared to Him, I mean, on your best day, friend, here's what you're going to say. Not woe unto them, woe unto me. Amen. That's what happened there. And that's what led to send me. Amen. That's another message. Look it up yourself. Isaiah chapter 6. Amen. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not what? You know what I hate? Self comes up there a lot, doesn't it? You know what? I hate selfies. Amen. We're not taking those selfies this week. Amen. You know what the verse tells you? Quit comparing yourself to others. There's always going to be somebody doing worse than you. That makes you feel good. I tell you, maybe this never occurred to you. There's always going to be somebody doing better than you. There might always be somebody looking at you, looking down at you. Amen? So what's the answer, Brother Spurgeon? How about if we just keep focused on the King? You know what I've noticed? It's a lot easier to turn the reins of your life over to God if you're staying focused on Him. Say, what's the point? You're talking about get in. Here's what happened when Peter saw himself compared to the Lord. He got things in perspective again. It wasn't about him anymore. Amen? And it would do us all well, do us all good to get things back in perspective. Because what we got in the Bible-believing crowd is 1,000 armchair quarterbacks, and many of them ain't doing much at all for Jesus Christ. But boy, they can slice and dice and critique all day long. Ray Charles can see we got problems. Let's look to the one that not only has no problems, but has all the answers. Amen. Sometimes we just need to get things back into perspective, who he is, who we are, and quit majoring on minors. Hold on, I got to do this. I can't help myself. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. It's rough out there on the road. You got to do that. Amen. Verse 9. We're talking about getting in tonight. Get in earshot. Amen. Get in a little deeper. Whatever it is, whatever your walk is, whatever your relationship, just ask God, help you kick things up a notch. Maybe just witnessing. Maybe. Amen. Just kick it. Get some. You know what we do is we get up victories and then we get satisfied. You know, I had such a list. I went to God with this list. I had so many things I had doing wrong, and from bad habits, bad language, bad thinking. What I found out was after a Christian gets victory over the things they do, then the battle's here, and you got to start getting victory over old thinking. Amen. And I've tried. I'm going to church, and I'm going. And I got to the place where the last thing, whatever it was, and I wouldn't tell you if I could remember. And I thought, Lord, I worked all the way down the list. Thank me that God would give us the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, yeah, that's pretty good, Persian. Here, now start working on the new list. And that's been going on for 32 years. Amen. We need to get things back into perspective. Maybe this will make it easy. We need him a whole lot more than he needs us, friend. All right. Verse 9. And it says this. For he, and that's Simon Peter, for he was astonished. And then it says, and all that were with him. That's significant. And all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. They were astonished. You know what they were in awe of what had just happened. They've been at this a while, and they've been fishing long before the Lord Jesus Christ came along. And again, they probably were pretty good at what they do. They had a successful business, but they had never, ever had a catch like this. This was a miracle. Would you agree? I tried to make this happen before the marriage in Cana. I did. I was trying to figure it out chronologically. But you know, you can't, because the Bible says his miracle started in Cana. Amen. Sorry. Amen. It's fun to challenge yourself, and it's also very important to say, whoop, that was wrong. Yeah. And how do you do that? Keep this in mind. The Bible's always right. Amen. Say, well, I never think like that. I know. Maybe you should read your Bible a little more. I don't know. Can I ask you something tonight? Now, you're here on a Wednesday night, and I expect to see most of you the rest of the time, if you can. I've been to this church before. But let me just ask you, remember being in awe of God? I mean, in awe of the fact that he would save a wretch like you? The longer I'm saved, the more it blows my mind that God did what he did for me. Not us, not you, for me. I know me. And sometimes, well, often, more often, the longer I'm saved, I am in awe. It is a shame. The question, let me repeat it, in case I distracted. Remember being in awe of God? And, you know, no doubt you were. Maybe you are, but were. It's a shame that it's even possible to get over that. a little, but truth is, it is possible. It's more than possible. It happens all the time. I wouldn't give you a list of people that I knew that never in a million years dreamed their seat would be empty. But there's a lot of them. Yeah. Amen? And I'm going to tell you why it happens. And I'm going to tell you why it can happen to you. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how many mission trips you've been on. I don't care what you've done. You underestimate the power of your flesh. Amen? And you will no longer be in awe of God. You'll take him for granted. You might even get to the place where you accuse him of not being fair. I don't want that. That's why I need. If it wasn't possible that we could fall out of love with God, for lack of a better way to say it, we wouldn't even need revivals. We wouldn't even need preaching. We could just sing all the time. There's crowds that do, and they ain't been right with God, in God's opinion, for a long time. But they're nice. I need to stay in awe of God. Just talking about me. This helps me. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. That'll help you. Can you help me with the chorus? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. He ain't changed a lick. It's us. Amen. Are you still in awe of God? Can I encourage you to be? Can I encourage you to get back in awe of God? If you've fallen away from that, it does happen. It's because the cares of this life are real. And nobody's denying that. But if you'd be honest with yourself and realize that that isn't your focus anymore, that'd be a good thing to address when we get to the end of this message. Verse number nine. Again. For he... Now that's Peter, was astonished, and all that were with him. So again, now I want to emphasize out of that verse the fact that the Bible says they were all astonished. Not just Peter. They were all in one accord when it came to being astonished at what Jesus Christ has done. And beloved, it is so important if we're going to make any kind of difference in these last days that we get in one accord, that we stay in one accord. Amen. Acts 4:24 says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And it's amazing what can get done for God when God's people are all in one accord. Amen? So that means that the thing that needs to be addressed, perhaps, if there's aught somewhere or disgruntled, whatever, feelings, that'd be a good thing to lay at this altar this week and get victory over, especially in light of this, not just this Malawi trip, but I mean, this is what, the third one? Amen. And these other trips, and Brother Darling keeps me in tune to pray for the Mexico trip and all that stuff. He went down to Mexico a couple months ago and got everybody in the whole country sick as a dog, probably, because he asked me to pray for him because he was sick. And then I'm getting pictures of tracks and stuff from some of you that, amen, God... It's important. Look what can happen if people work together. We're not competing with each other. Amen. I mean, definitely not within a local church, but we're really not competing with other Christians. This is God's baby. Amen. We just need to figure out how to get with like-minded people. Now, this is a good place. And get in one accord and report for duty and see God do something. It's amazing. All right, verse 10. Here's where I say, I'm almost done. I might be telling the truth this time. Verse 10, and so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Again, they were all in one accord. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, you know from Matthew, they forsook their business, they forsook their family, they forsook their religion. Luke says they forsook all and followed him. Why? To start a church? No. To start a denomination? God forbid. They followed him to get others in. Amen. And let me just ask you, what are you doing to get others in? Didn't ask if you were saved. Didn't ask if you love Jesus. Didn't ask if you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And those questions may come up for you to, you know, examine. But what I'm asking you is, what are you doing? Some of you, I know what you're doing. But what are you doing to get others in? In what? In the church? No. Into Jesus. That book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the most important thing anybody could ever get in is in Christ. And so he has determined that the method that he wants to use to spread the glorious gospel is us. I wonder about that. But I know he's got a reason for what he does, and it's that no flesh should glory in his presence. I get it. Amen. So we need to get in one accord. We need all that. We need to get in where Jesus is speaking and get in a little deeper, not be satisfied with the splash pool. I know you like that slide, but come on, move into the deep. Amen. We need to keep things in perspective. Amen. We need to stay in awe of God. We need to get in one accord and try to do something for God. We need to get others in. You know, one of the biggest criticisms of Christianity is all the hypocrites. How many ever heard that? How many ever said that? Probably. Amen. Helping others get in just might be as simple as making sure you're not one of them hypocrites. So that's how we keep short accounts, we stay close to God, we deal with stuff that comes up when the flesh wins, because sometimes it wins. Amen? All right, so let me just ask this, and I will get out of the way. Are you saved tonight? Because, you know, you Christians, you got the message. What you do with it, I hope you do something with it. But if you're in there and you're not saved, that's what you need to address. And you need to know you can be, and that Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you can be. And the Bible said he died for our sins according to the Scripture, and we're Bible people, and we believe the Scripture. And the Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish. So I'm not going to assume that just because you made it in here tonight, you're saved and on your way to heaven. But I will say this, boy, that's what Jesus would have, and that's what we want too. So if we can help anybody in any way, then that'd be the biggest thing you could take advantage of this night. And for some of you, well, maybe need to spend a little time with the Lord. Here, there, I don't care. But let's start this meeting off by turning it over to him. Preacher. Amen.
All right, let's turn over to number 390. You may remember a day when You felt it a privilege to be asked to bear Jesus Christ's cross. And maybe now it's just a burden. And that maybe you forgot that it was a privilege. So I would ask along the lines of what Brother Spurgeon preached tonight. Maybe you need to get in or back in. Maybe you need to fall back in love with the Lord. So number 390, let's sing a couple of stanzas.
Jesus, I cry.